Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. We in this church read the Bible a lot. We read the Bible. That's what we do. Every morning I get up and I just read three or four chapters. Not long, not much. I read three or four chapters. Just read it. And I've done that for 40 plus years. I'll read three or four or five chapters, sometimes seven or eight, sometimes only one. Sometimes I miss reading. But I just read the Bible, and by the end of the year, I've read the Bible all the way through. I've done that for over 40 years, read the Bible. So we read. We just read the Word here. But from time to time, the Holy Spirit will stop you on a sentence. How many know what that's like? You go, whoa. Well, I'll read that again. Well, whoa. The second time you read it was worse than the first time. Oh, my goodness. I got to read that again. And the Holy Spirit just stops you on a sentence. That happened to me in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. In the New Living Translation, it says, Proverbs 4, 7, getting wisdom, it's the wisest thing you can ever do. When I read that, it captured me. I want you to get that God said in His Word, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Well, when I read that, I think, I can't preach another thing until I preach on that. I mean, if God said that's the wisest thing you'll ever do, then why would I talk about anything else before I talk about this? Why am I teaching this today? According to God, it's the wisest thing you will do. The title of today's message is Get Wisdom. The title of today's message is Get Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Proverbs 19:3, people ruin their own lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Well, there's a sermon right there in that verse. You bring the conversation around to the Lord or to church, and you're going to hear somebody's anger toward God come out. The world is full of people mad at God. They're mad at God over some event in their life. They're mad at God over some event in their friend's life. Or they're mad at God over parts of the Bible that they don't have a clue what it's about. And so they're mad at God because they disagree with that part of the Bible. Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their life by their own foolishness, and then they're mad at God. You know, a clear word from God that we often don't get is in Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. Now, we all know that scripture. We've all heard that our whole life. I want to make sure that in our church, nobody here gets mad at God. God is a refuge and a place of safety for those who are living in His shadow. Now, here's what I want you to know. God does not provide a refuge from the consequences of sin in your life. God, thank the Lord, provides repentance for sin, but He doesn't provide a refuge from the consequences of sin in your life. So we got Christians living in known, chosen sin and expecting God to be a refuge and a place of safety for them, and they're mad at God when He doesn't. Proverbs 19, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. That's what we're talking about this today. Proverbs 4, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you will ever do. That's what God says. The title of today's message is Get Wisdom, because foolishness will ruin your life. Young people, growing up right here in our church, right here in our Christian school, young people growing up right here with godly parents, I want all of you to listen to me. You can ruin your life by foolishness. You can ruin your life by foolishness. You're going to have to get some wisdom. You've got to get wisdom. Don't blame God and be mad at God for the consequences of foolishness in your life. You know, we in this church, we teach about God's amazing, amazing love. We teach in this church about God's unprecedented grace. We teach here about God's plan to forgive. And because we do, it's very easy for young people to grow up in church all over America who have heard God's a place of refuge and safety, believing that God's going to cover the consequences of their foolishness. You in a Christian school, in church, can still have a child out of wedlock if you disobey God's word. You in a Christian school can still go to jail if you disobey God's word. Romans chapter 1, God's wrath is loosed on all unrighteousness. Yes, he loves you. There is a plan of grace that we are all unbelievably blessed with. But God's wrath is loosed on unrighteousness. Regardless of the vote of our city council, regardless of the vote of our Supreme Court, God's wrath is loosed on unrighteousness. Regardless of what the Supreme Court accepts or doesn't accept. Because God's forgiveness is so great, many think that we can escape the consequences of sin by the love of God. Young people, God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son for you to pay a price for you. If you didn't hear Pastor Paul's message on love last week, make sure you get the podcast. The greatest message and explanation of love I've ever heard from the pulpit. An amazing message of God's love. There's no greater love that has ever been shown, but sin will produce unwed pregnancy, venereal disease, AIDS, hepatitis. Let me tell you what drinking will do. It'll wrap a car around a tree. That's what it will do. It will lose a job. It will lose a marriage. You know, I just never saw anything good from it. Whenever you're drinking, the best you can do is hope nothing bad happens to you. Let me just tell you something. I don't see any good coming out of that, young people. It's foolish. It's foolish to get in a car that depends on coordination and on quick decisions while you're doing something that diminishes coordination and slows down quick decisions. The prophet Samuel told Saul some great, great wisdom. He said, Saul, you will never regain through sacrifice what is lost in your life through disobedience. What that means is you can't go out here and do your own thing on Friday and Saturday night and then come in here and give a big check on Sunday morning and think God's going to overlook your sin on Friday night. You can't come and volunteer for our nursery. You can't come and volunteer for cleaning day. You can't come and volunteer to help and teach in school and think God is going to overlook unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. You will never regain through sacrifice what is lost in your life through disobedience. There are two verses that I want our church to memorize today. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. The second verse is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Getting wisdom, God says, is the wisest thing you can ever do. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2 hangs in my mind all day, every day, all the time. It says, there is a path that will seem right to you, but the end is destruction or death. That hangs in my mind all the time. I am aware that there is going to be decisions every day that come up in front of me. Seem like a thing to do. Seem like a good idea. Seem like the right thing at the time. I'm aware that those things come up every day, all day long. But the end result in your life is destruction. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Seek him, seek his will in all you do, and he will make your path straight. See, I'm aware there's a way that seems like the right thing to do, but I better not trust in what seems right. I better put my trust in God and allow him to give me wisdom on what path today. Today, the direction of people in America is very alarming to me. As we are literally teaching a generation that you decide right and wrong for yourself. That each person decides right and wrong for themselves. And what's more alarming is America is becoming okay with that. I want our church to know there's a way that seems right. There's always a way that seems right. But the end of that will bring destruction in your life. The end won't work. We've got to get wisdom. I think, and I believe that the world is flat. This morning I looked out over my ranch and I could see where it falls off. It's very clear to me. I feel in my heart the world is flat. The Supreme Court does not need to vote if that's okay or not, because I feel that way. Even if 2.6% of our population feels that way, the Supreme Court does not need to vote if the world is flat, because that's scientifically, verifiably wrong. A man has an X and a Y, and a woman has two X's, and no cosmetic surgery changes that. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Oh, well, Tim, you know, I read about a case where there was one in 50 billion chromosomes don't line up. That is a medical issue. That's not a Supreme Court issue to vote on, for crying out loud. Don't throw that up to me. Go ahead. Come on. If we're going to, do it. We're going to have to get some wisdom. Well, I believe the world is flat. Well, you're wrong. Well, who are you to say that I'm wrong? I'm somebody that's got some wisdom. And you're telling me I'm wrong? Yes, you're an idiot. Because we can verifiably, scientifically prove this is not a feeling decision. This is a factual decision. The world ain't flat. And we don't need to discuss this, debate this, argue this, and vote over this. We're going to have to get some wisdom. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to get some wisdom. Young people, don't grow up foolish. This generation in America, we're raising foolishness. And we're going to have to raise young people that are wise. Get wisdom about you. Get some wisdom about you. Believe in God for financial blessings while you're spending more than comes in is foolishness. It's foolishness. We don't run a church like that. Oh, we're just trusting God for finances. What we're doing is spending less than what comes in. Well, I'm believing God for finances. What we're doing is spending less than comes in. Come on, church. You can't believe God for his blessings on foolish behavior. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. You know, when I read God say, get wisdom, it's the wisest thing you'll ever do, I wondered what else would I preach on. What else will I ever preach on if God says that's the wisest thing you will ever do? Because there is a way out there that will seem right to you. Well, it just seemed right. Well, it felt right. Well, I felt like it. There is a way out there that will always seem right at the time. There's a way that seems right, but the end is destruction. I'm convinced that I have to daily pursue wisdom. That has to be a daily number one thought in my head that I'm pursuing wisdom. God, don't let me make a bad decision. God, don't let me make a foolish decision that seemed right at the moment, but down the line will lead to destruction. We're in a day and time when people don't pursue wisdom. They pursue how they feel about it. They pursue how fun it will be, but they don't pursue wisdom. Young people, I get it. You're in love. Wait till you start sharing bills. Wait till you start spending one another's money. But I get it. You're not doing that right now, and so you're in love. I get it. It feels so right. I get it. It seemed like the thing you should do at the time. I get it. It felt good. I understand. The question I'm asking is, was it wise? Was it wise? Six of you in a car, all of you passing around a bottle and passing around a puff, and it's just going around the car, and you're going 100 miles an hour, and somebody in the back seat says, let's see what it can do. Give it all she's got. Oh, I understand. It's fun. I understand all about that. It's fun. I'm asking, what you're doing right now, is that wise? I marvel at the motorcycle convention that comes here in town every year. As I drive through town and just see the parking lot after parking lot and all of the bars jammed full of motorcycles. I've ridden a motorcycle lots in my life. Terry and I have ridden across 27 states on a motorcycle. And here's one thing a motorcycle depends on: balance and quick decisions. And there's two things that you are losing when you're in there. That would be balance and quick decision. And now you're going to walk out there and put that thing between your legs. Vroom. Really? I don't know how much more foolish a generation of people could be. We're talking foolishness. Foolishness. Proverbs 1:7 describes this generation. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom. And that describes our generation. We're despising wisdom. We're despising anything that seems wise. And the list of foolishness is endless. And I'm talking about not idiots. I'm talking about brilliant people on TV. Foolishness. Proverbs 2:2. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing that you can desire compares with it. The title of the message today, Get Wisdom. Have I told you the title of today's message? Get Wisdom. Well, how do I get wisdom? Well, you've convinced me. How do I get it? Here's what I can tell you. If you are new to this church, you will never hear me preach a spiritual sounding sermon that we don't give you some 1, 2, 3s on how to do it. Because we've got to turn this around, leaving church. Ooh, that was good. What was it about? I don't know. Oh, whoa, we had a wonderful time in church today. What are you going to do Tuesday afternoon? We had a wonderful time in church. How is that going to affect Monday morning at 10 o'clock? You won't ever hear a sermon in this church that we don't tell you, here's how you go and do it. How do I get wisdom? You'll be interested to know the Bible gives us four ways. There are four clear ways lined out in Scripture. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Let's go. Number one, Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do I get wisdom? Number one, walk in the fear of the Lord. When the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, I'm not talking about you're scared of the dark or you're afraid to sleep without your teddy bear. I'm not talking about that. The dictionary gives a definition of fear, and it gives us two words, awe and reverence. Awe and reverence. The beginning of wisdom comes from an awe and a reverence for God. We listen to people talk. You listen to people talk throughout the week, and they're asking God to damn everything that comes to their mind. God damning this and God damning that over there. And they're just throwing that around. This morning before daylight, I was up at the convenience store getting some coffee, and a girl back in the back, she dropped something. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, that God, Jesus Christ. I mean, you hear that all the time. Whoa, there is an awe and a reverence for God. An awe. Boy, you better watch. I don't care if you did just hit your thumb with a hammer. You better be careful about what you say. There is an awe and a reverence for God. You know, even in church, while worship's going on, young people talking and whispering and giggling. Come on, let me tell you something. God's here. And there's a reverence for the things of God. There's a reverence for the things of God in here. And you walk in an awe and a reverence. You're not visiting and talking and getting up and going to the bathroom and out in the foyer visiting with your friends. There's an awe and there's a reverence for the things of God. Isaiah 40:12 says, he holds the oceans in his hand. He measures the heavens with his fingers. He knows the weight of the earth. He has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale. Verse 15 says, he picks up the whole earth as though it was a grain of sand. Verse 22 says he spreads out the heavens like a curtain. Church, there is an awe and a reverence for God. I get that we preach Jesus a big brother and he's a best friend and God's a best friend. Let me tell you, he's not a best buddy that you're chumming around with. There's a reverence and an awe for a God that holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. There is an awe for the ever-present presence of the Spirit of God in our world and in our life. And there is an awe. There is a sense of awe. The beginning of wisdom. Well, how do I get wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is to walk in an awe and a reverence of God. How do I get wisdom? Number two, Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth. How do I get wisdom? Read his word. Read his word. How do I get wisdom in my life? Read his word. Know this, when you go directly against the word, it's foolishness. It's foolish when you in your life go directly against, well, Tim, I know what it says in there, but you don't know my wife, she. Well, you don't know my sheep. Well, when you go against the word of God, you're walking in foolishness. You're walking in foolishness. How do you get wisdom? Read the word. Study the word. Meditate the word. Think about the word. The more you give yourself to knowing God's word, the wiser you will become. Get wisdom, read what God says, and you'll get wisdom. The Bible's not full of a bunch of religious stories for preachers and for church times. The Bible is how to live blessed and what you do that causes cursings and wrath to come in your life. It's foolish to do what brings curses and pray for God's blessing. It's foolish. It's foolish. The wisest thing you can do in your life is get wisdom. Get wisdom. Align yourself with the words out of the mouth of God. That's how you get wisdom. You align yourself with the word of God. How do I get wisdom? Number three, you ask God for it. It's what James 1:5 says. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. You need wisdom, ask God for it. Ask God for it, James 1:8, he'll give it to you. Make pursuing wisdom your number one prayer. You know, God says it's the wisest thing you can do. Then I think we ought to start out our prayer, God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom today. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, let me make wise decisions today. You know, I ask people, why did you just buy a brand new car that depreciates quicker than the payments depreciate on it? Why did you just buy a brand new car and sign a 5-year note in the situation that you're in? Here's the answer. I don't know, I just did it. And you wonder why your life's a mess? Well, what? But anybody that knows anything about real estate knows that it's all about location. Location, location, location. That's everything about the price of real estate, is where it is. Is it on the beach? Is it on a golf course? Or is it down over here? The location is everything when buying real estate. It's everything. You know, why did you sign a 30-year note on that location? I was tired of looking and this came up. Whoa, really? Really? Well, why did you make an investment in that idea? It just seemed at the time the right thing to do. This is from Christians. We're going to have to get wise. And we're going to have to pursue wisdom. And we're going to have to ask God for wisdom. Seek God's thoughts. Over and over, the Bible says God is found by those who seek Him. God is found by those who seek Him. Ask, seek, knock. Daily, our prayer has got to be, Lord, give me wisdom. Oh God, give me wisdom. Let me make wise decisions. It gets my attention when the Bible says there's a way that will seem right to you. That gets my attention. That gets my attention. Every day, all of us are faced with it seemed right at the time. Daily, young people, make wisdom your pursuit. Make wisdom your pursuit. Number four, how do I get wisdom? People you associate with. Proverbs 13:20, very clear. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you get in trouble. Every time. How do I get wisdom? Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How do I get wisdom? You will get it from the friends that you choose. I'm asking you, does your friend have a great marriage? Does your friend have great children? Is your friend doing well financially? Is your friend committed to church? Is your friend, do they have a committed prayer life? Is your friend speaking the word all the time? You know, the number one question that you ask before you hang with people is you ask yourself, is life working for them? Because if life is not working for them, I don't need that kind of input into my ears. Oh, they're fun. No, I just have fun. We have fun together. Let me know how that eats. Let me know how the electric company thinks about you having fun. Let me know about how life works for you while you're having fun. Let me know how your state of peace and joy. Let me know how life works for you. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise produces wisdom. The mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. You'll never, ever, young people, listen to me. You will never, never know how important who you associate with really is. You'll never be able to measure their influence in your life. Young people, I want all of you listening. You may have nothing on you, and you may have done nothing. But if you're in the car with them, you'll be guilty. Young people, oh, well, I wasn't doing anything. If you're in that house, when the police come in, you're in trouble. You need to know that. When all of your friends are thugs and jobless and partiers, I want you to know, regardless of your work ethic and your walk with the Lord, people will associate you with who you are associated with. We say you're guilty by association, and you need to know that. You'll never know how important who you associate with really is. They've got a constant input into your life. Oh, no, now, Tim, I'm just telling you right now, I've read the Bible, and Jesus associated with sinners. Oh, He directed sinners' thinking is what He did. He associated with 12 and really only three of them. That's who He associated with. When He was with sinners, He was 100% of the time directing the way they were thinking. How do I get wisdom? Proverbs 13:20, it's very clear. walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. You will get wisdom by spending time with wise people. You'll get wisdom. You'll get wisdom. God says the most important thing you will ever do is get wisdom. Turn all of you to 1 Kings chapter 3, very quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want us to see something here. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. All right, everybody right here. You're just in your bed sleeping. God shows up. I'm talking about the number one guy. God shows up. Are you ready for this? Solomon, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. We're talking, this isn't rubbing a bottle with a genie coming out. I'm telling you, God shows up in this man's bedroom and says, anything you want, I'm just asking, I'm going to give it to you. Young people, how excited would you be? What would you ask for? That new pair of tennis shoes you've been looking for. If I could just get those tennis shoes, God. Oh, man, if I could just get those tennis shoes. What would you ask for? If you're getting close to 16, truck. That package so high that your girlfriend can't even get up in it without a ladder. That's smart. Boom, boom, I want some speakers. Anything you want in the whole world, just ask. I want some speakers for my ride. Boom, 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 boom. But that's where we are today. Most important thing in the world is some new speakers. I understand that. Not another close second. Solomon, anything you want, ask it. Solomon replies, this is the king. You showed great faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. You've continued to show his great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, but I am like a little child who don't even know his way around. You know people that are cocky, arrogant, prideful? You know people that when you start telling about something, they already know more about it than you do? You start telling about it and they've already been there, they've already done it, and the way they did it and went to it is a lot better than the way you did it. Can't tell them nothing. Now look at this. Here's the king. And what is his attitude? God, I don't even know how to walk around. See, a humble attitude before God. God, I don't know how to build this. I've been building all my life. I've been in this all my life. I don't know. I forgot more than they know how to. God, I've been doing this 20 years and I don't have a clue what I'm doing. God, give me wisdom today. God, give me wisdom today. God, show me what to do. Look at this. Verse 9. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. God, the only thing I want to know is the difference between right and wrong. That's all I want to know. Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you've asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or new tennis shoes or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has ever had. And while I'm at it, I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about riches. Don't worry about fame. Don't worry about power. Don't worry about house. Don't worry about tennis shoes. Don't worry about any of that. If you'll pursue wisdom, if you will pursue wisdom, you'll have the tennis shoes you wish you had. That won't be a problem. If you will pursue wisdom in life, if you will See, God says, look here, if you'll seek wisdom, if you will pursue wisdom, I'm going to add all of this other stuff to you. Church, God said, getting wisdom is the best thing you can ever, ever do. Proverbs 7:7, stay away from fools because you won't find knowledge on their lips. The message today is God said, get wisdom. It's the wisest thing you'll ever do. And then his word tells us how. Number one, you walk in a fear. You walk in an awe and a reverence toward God every day of your life. Number two, you spend time studying His Word because wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Number three, you daily ask God for wisdom, who gives it generously if you will just ask, seek, and pursue wisdom. And number four, you associate with people who are wise. Young people growing up in our church, don't be foolish. Get wisdom. It's the wisest thing you'll ever do. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today we as a church body, we ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom. Lord, that in this community, the members of this church are noticed for the wisdom that they walk in. Give us wisdom, God. Wisdom in every step of the day. Oh God, we put our hand in your hand and we walk in a awe and a reverence for you. And we will walk in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.